Katie Hopkins's latest piece at Daily Mail. Please, for those of you on the Facebook right now, daily stats tell us that there's between 500 and 700 people watch this video every day when we go Facebook Live, the preview. That's pretty nice television audience. Of course, many of you are Founders Pass members can watch for you, watch on the YouTube as well. I say this to you. I want you to do me a favor. In addition to becoming a Founders Pass member and buying about $30,000 worth of... How much you need, Mike? About $52,000. $15,000 worth of memberships in the Founders Trading Post. Go to my website at mikechurch.com. Sign up for the Daily Republican email newsletter at the bottom of the page. Put your email address in the box. I'm going to send you a coupon that you can use in my Founders Trading Post store for $10. $10! Yours. Don't cost nothing. But while you're there, click this story. Madness in Manchester. Let's hug, hope, and not hate. Written by yours truly. Now, again, I said this in the first hour. I'm going to say it again. If Blaze columnist Matt Walsh wrote what I wrote, 500,000 of you people would swear it's the greatest thing that they'd read all day long and some much-needed truth and clarity on the matter of what's going on with these Muslim madmen. Maybe I should have just signed it, Matt Walsh. But since Walsh didn't write it and I wrote it, maybe you can help me spread the word. Share it. You're going to share all sorts of blithe, inconsequential crap today. Why not share something that actually axes a pertinent question? And that's this. I'll ask it to you. I put it to you, Greg. Here's the question. If Islam is so, quote, peaceful, rich, reverent, respectable, positive, endearing, compassionate, powerful, fervent, red, white, and green, awesome, close quote, why haven't you converted to it? No one is going to ask a more pertinent, relevant, and pointed question about what went on in Manchester two nights ago, at the Parliament 3 months ago, in Orlando last year, in San Bernardino 2 years ago, and on and on and on. No one's going to ask the question. Ask that question and see if you can get a response. See if your buddy that's over there, man, you're just a racist. Well, first of all, Islam is not a race, you idiot. How many of you know of the country called Chechnya? Well, Miniature Church is part of Russia. That's right. Who lives in Chechnya? Who lives in Chechnya? It ain't brown people. What are Chechnyans?
The password is Muslims.
How could that be? If you're against Islam, you're a racist. Somebody put a cartoon in the chat room. I actually saw this on Twitter yesterday. It's funny. Here's an emergency plan. 10 steps in case of a terrorist attack in any European city. 1. Draw some tearful cartoons. 2. Facebook filter. Hey, I'm Star Spangled helping in Manchester today. You're on Facebook. What's the Facebook badge that you put on your wall to say that you're in solidarity with the 22 teenagers slaughtered in Manchester? You know, in France it was, you had the French flag.
I haven't seen anything yet.
Facebook filter. I'm helping. 3, go on television and cry. 4, light up some buildings. Woo.
Well, I know the Ariana Grande hat with the rabbit ears. It was a little peace ribbon.
Yes,
that's been getting social media ground. Her logo, her album logo. Yeah, I'll post a picture of it.
Oh, that's a would you say it's a rabbit ear? I'll wait for the picture. Step four, light up some buildings with the colors of your flag. Step five, hold a candlelight vigil. Oh, we miss them. We love them. Did you pray for their souls? Get out of here, you idiot. We don't pray for souls, stupid. There's no such thing. Six, import some more refugees to show you ain't afraid of no Muslim. Ray Parker Jr., I ain't afraid of no ghost. I ain't afraid of no Muslim. Hey, Lamba, bring some more refugees in. Number seven, call those who want to stop the importation of new Muslim refugees bigots, racist, haters, et cetera, et cetera. Step eight, wait for the next attack. Step nine, repeat. Step 10, do nothing. That about sums it up, I think. By the by, the chat room at MikeChurch.com is alive and hopping today. Just go to my website, front page, MikeChurch.com. Click the Mike Church Show chat live and join your fellow listeners in chatting it up. I want to get back to Katie Hopkins now. I'll show you the... to the camera audiences there. This is from the Daily Mail, .co.uk today. We stand united. We are not broken. We are strong. We stand united. We are not broken. We are strong. Repeated like a mantra. The new Lord's Prayer of a terrorized generation. Saying it over and over, faster and faster as the sharks circle, and it becomes clear that hope is fading fast, as this could be the end. If not this time, then the next one, or the one after that. After the Westminster attack on March the 26th, I said we were cowed, Miss Hopkins writes, that we were like ants carrying on as normal, waiting for the next footstep to fall. And today I see this to be true. Ants squashed by a car, hewn in half by a truck, bounced off the bonnet of a 4x4, punctured by ball bearings and shrapnel from a hardware store. And the only thing we ants can do is act busy. Whip ourselves up into a frenzy of activity, move this way and that, scurry about carrying things, film ourselves walking to work, make posters about having a cup of tea, get cross about what is said on Twitter. We celebrate the first responders as we should, the bravery of the people there to save us, and anyone else who joined the battle to save our souls, the kindness of the taxi drivers, the staff of the arena, the people of Manchester who opened their doors to offer whatever they had. These people are angels among us, holding, helping, healing. But no, Mayor of Manchester, Andy Burnham, they are not yours to use. Not extras in your charade of defiance. We celebrate the first responders as we should. The bravery of those people are there to save us. And anyone else who joined the battle to save our souls. Do not use these acts of kindness to support your false narrative that this is us standing up to terror. The people helping are reacting instinctively, Mayor. Battling against blood and death. They are not standing up to terror. They are not showing we are strong. They are trying to scoop up the handfuls of flesh that is weak and stop it from bleeding. They are being decent humans. They should be applauded, rewarded, not manipulated by impotent politicians into standing as a preserve or understanding as a perverse symbol of how terror will never beat us. Do not use these acts of kindness to support your false narrative that this is us standing up to terror. Because it is beating us. It's grinding us down. We are worn down by it all. Some think my divisive talk should be outlawed, should be illegal, says Ms. Hopkins at the Daily Mail today, because it's what terrorists want. People have rung my bosses on the radio demanding I am sacked from my tweets because my divisiveness is what ISIS wants. Speaking of tweets, Llama. Oh, we have tweets today. My Twitter address, at TheKingDude. You want to see your brother Alexis is available? People have rung my bosses up on the radio demanding I am sacked from my tweets because my divisiveness is what ISIS wants. These people have bought the narrative, hook, line, and sinker. They are channeling their impotence and anger at me. The people helping are reactive instinctively, battling against blood and death. In truth, the terrorists couldn't give a stuff what I tweet or write or say. They couldn't care less if we stand divided or pretend to be united. If anything, united in one place, we are an easier target. The terrorists want us dead. They want the infidel to be slaughtered, and they spread their message most effectively by targeting our children, our little girls. Try and deny you don't feel a change in the mood of our country. Try and deny you don't feel we're a little bit less. Tell me you don't feel like you've taken a battering, made it to the 12th, then someone punched you square in the stomach, drawing the air from you in one long oof. Do you find yourself looking around for comfort in the small things, the Chelsea flowers, pictures of cute little cats, a phone call to your mom, an extra big hug for your daughter, another text to your son to check he is safe? I have rung my husband twice today just to listen to him speak. I heard a lady on the radio wanting to share, to hold on to something, to grab onto the piece of flotsam that keeps us all afloat. She said her 16-year-old daughter stopped to ask her, stopped her to ask where she was working today, wanting to know if she would be safe. You see, it's not the acts of walking over a bridge or getting on a train or going to work on the underground that are truths of how we feel. It's the fear in the margins, the double checking, the anxious wait for someone to be home. The moment between hearing there is a bomb and knowing your child is safe in another city, another place. This is Katie Hopkins at the dailymail.co.uk today. This country is sick. It is calling out for a doctor. Ms. Hopkins, I know not of your religious affiliation, madam, but your heirs kicked the doctor out in 1531 with the Supremacy Acts. You made the practice of the doctor illegal upon penalty of death if you were a priest. In a church, please, what are you talking about?
The password is Catholicism.
Maybe you should invite the doctor back in. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. By the by, I went to Jordan Bloom's, Our Man in Mordor Bloom's wedding on Sunday, and it was presided over by a priest who was an Anglican. But he's a convert now, and there are high Anglicans, as they call them, across the amber waves of fuel in America, converting to the faith, and I understand that there are even some in Great Britain that are converting, as many did at the turn of the last century, as they were inspired by the likes of Chesterton and Belloc. Britain's kicked the doctor out. Invite him back in. He wants you to invite him back in. That's the remedy for this. Will people still die? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, yes. Will souls be saved? A lot more. Answer, if we take the vows of our baptism seriously, do you? What do you get at baptism? What are the three theological virtues you get at baptism? Faith, hope, charity. Those are poured in, gifts from Almighty God. You have them for the rest of your life. That's what's needed here.